Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Adam Carter, what do you stand on the state of Nebraska?
You can stand fairly evenly because it's very flat.
It is very flat. They now have.
I hear good things about Omaha, though. I do.
Omaha is good. It's also the home of the best modern golf course in America, and not close. Sandhills. It is a mystical experience.
Ben Crenshaw design.
Ben Crenshaw, Bill Kaur. It's not la-di-da at all. I mean, it's not public. Okay, so you gotta have a guy. Gotta have Richie or somebody. But it is an amazing place. But the tourism camping and the trying out. Honestly, this is what Nebraska is putting out. Honestly, it's not for everyone. That's their new campaign. Famous for a flat, boring landscapes. Another features a waterfall running through a lush forest and line. Another day on the dusty plains. Brand consultants. I would love to be a brand consultant. The three of us. Lindsay, can you start this so we can get paid to be brand consultants? Hired by the state, found that most consumers don't consider Nebraska to be a leisure travel destination. I like Omaha. I'm with you. I'm signing up right now. If somebody would like to bring me to Sand Hills, I'm willing to hitchhike to get there. The campaign needed to be disruptive because of the marketing challenge. Some residents are not happy. One said there's no reason why that would draw people to the state. Another one was less happy. Somebody said, I realize it's tongue-in-cheek, but words matter. Why? Why did we pay a Colorado firm to come up with this? Here we go again. Outstate firm, Adam. I know plenty of people. Talented marketing firms. Another one. Our tourism sucks because everybody says we suck and they just roll with it. Western Nebraska is one of the most beautiful, authentic parts of the country I've ever been to. What do you think of the campaign? I like it. Have some fun.
So do I, and we're talking about it.
Yeah.
If they did something, they'd be ridiculed and said, hey, Nebraska's the greatest.
Poke some fun, you know, lighten up a little bit. All day on WCCO, we're trying to raise awareness. And let's be blunt. We're trying to get you to spend some money helping out the Red Cross with these two devastating storms, Florence and Michael, in such a short period of time. The Red Cross needs help. You can donate multiple ways. 1-800-542-9226. You can also visit WCCO.com or by texting. Make this just one word, Red Cross, to 90999 to make a $10 donation. Mark Doble is our guest right now. He is a longtime volunteer, just was deployed to the area around Michael after all the time he spent with Florence, and he's worked with the national headquarters for a long time. Mark, thank you so much for helping out. What are you seeing on site that maybe we're missing out, even if we've watched a lot of the television coverage?
Well, what you're missing is the true devastation. This was the strongest hurricane to hit the U.S. in 50 years. It was a Category 4, almost a Category 5. The devastation that's hit Panama Beach and Mexico Beach, everything is gone. I mean, literally gone. No power, no water, nothing. We're even having a hard time getting into some of these areas because they've never seen destruction this bad.
So what is your top priority today in trying to help these folks out?
So my top priority is to make sure they have a safe place to stay, they have food, fresh water, and that they have their loved ones or whoever that's there, they're all together. We want to make sure that's our main priority. We want to make sure they have, you know, to be safe. That's the most important thing right now.
Mark, are you seeing incremental progress at this point, or is it just so challenging and daunting you're not seeing that yet?
We have seen some. There's not a lot of power back in Florida right now. It, like I said, in Bay County, which is the Mexico-Panama city, that's devastated. We're looking at possibly feeding and sheltering people into 2019.
Yeah.
That's how bad this area is.
Yeah, that is months and months and months. If anybody hasn't seen the footage yet, I would encourage you to check it out again. Mark's with us. We'd love for you to help out the folks affected, and many of them just devastated by Florence and Michael. You can call 1-800-542-9226. You can also visit WCCO.com. You can text Red Cross, all one word, to 90999 to make a $10 donation. You're from this area, Mark. What has drawn you to this cause?
I just feel I have to be part of my community, and I would want somebody to help me if I was in this need. That's the way I look at it. We need to help everybody. You know, we're all just one of, I call it one family. We might not be, but it's just, that's the way we are. It is just horrific of what I've seen, and the reason I do it is just to help people. I'm not looking for praise or anything. I'm just here to help people because that makes me feel better that I'm able to help somebody that's been just devastated with this type of disaster.
Mark, those are very important words. I thank you for your help, and wish you only the best, helping more people out. And thank you very much for coming on.
You're welcome.
Helping out with Michael, previously Florence, again, just take a small amount of time and help out the Red Cross. As I mentioned last hour, they missed out the area on about 250 blood drives, caused approximately 7,500 units of blood to go uncollected. And you know so many people need those. So there's all sorts of ways you can help out, including donating blood. If you want to just do cash, again, WCCO.com. I would encourage you to do that. Just don't ask Esme for any help. 1-800-542-9226 or text Red Cross to 90999. We've spent time the last few days, like a lot of shows, talking about the disappearance of the 13-year-old Jim Kloss in Wisconsin. What did you think, Adam and Lindsay, about the sheriff's comment yesterday? When he said that he has, this is Sheriff Fitzgerald, has a 100% expectation that she's alive. Is that a sheriff who is hopeful? Is this a sheriff who's trying to convince a town that can't figure out what's going on, including, the mother and father who were murdered? Or what did you infer into that?
Well, I already know specifically what you're talking about. The question was set up more, do you still consider this an effort to bring her home alive?
Yeah.
And he said 100%. So he has to say that. I mean, there's no way he can go up there and say, it's not looking good. And
what if he said we don't know? At this point, there are so many questions out there that we are hopeful, but we don't know. Is that...
I think it's just semantics. I think I don't think it really matters. I mean, I think you saying, we understand that she's in danger, but we certainly hope to bring her home alive.
It is
bizarre case.
It is so bizarre.
And the heartbreaking thing yesterday was finding out that, that phone call comes from the house.
Right.
And it's less than 4 minutes before deputies are there and there's no trace of her or any vehicle there or suspects.
Right.
And that's the thing I kind of wish that. That's the question I want to know. Did the Did that 911 call originate from a cell phone that is no longer there, or was it the house phone?
Yep.
It certainly sounds, reading between the lines from how they've described that phone call and how that's a big piece of the evidence, how they know that she's in danger and that she was in the home at the time.
Right.
So I'm assuming that she's heard on that call somehow.
And that's something they're not going to give us an indication on, right? Maybe we can play our own detective sort of situation. But, yeah, listen, in daily life, and if you're whatever, you're consuming news all the time, you're in this business, you pay attention to stories that just don't add up. You hope most of these don't involve something as tragic and awful as this. And, I mean, you think all the time, because the data is overwhelming, Adam, that the longer it goes, the more ominous it might be. That doesn't mean we haven't had so many different cases where individuals have been fined. I mean, who would have said Elizabeth Smart, as an example, when she was back in the news with the crazed woman who was let go? That made a lot of sense, of course. Who thought that was going to be resolved in that manner? But it is one of those stories that is getting play here for all the reasons, but it's getting a ton of national play, and rightfully so, because of all these questions. And, I mean, if I said, let's take calls and let's take texts on your theories, we could be here until 12 because people are consumed by this story because it just doesn't add up that it can happen in this way. And as you just said, phone call there that soon, and at least publicly what they're saying is so limited. So, yeah, this is a story that I know so many people are paying attention to. Global life expectancy in the U.S. continues to slide. Japan had was number one for a long time, Adam. Which country will overtake Japan at the top of the world life expectancy table by 2040? It should matter to you. That is my clue.
Should matter to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lindsay's giving you clues.
Well, she said Ireland. That's more than a clue, is she right?
No, but that's a good clue. That's an excellent clue.
What's your heritage?
That's not as good a clue.
Spain.
Yes. Spain will live to just about 86 years on average. Us, we will have the biggest drop in ranking of all high-income countries, falling from 43rd to 64th. We're barely going to get to 80. You'll be in your 90s then, so see ya. Good knowing ya. This then gets into the healthcare situation, the food situation, because the numbers that cause the most premature mortalities, Lindsay's high blood pressure, high body mass, high blood sugar, tobacco use, and alcohol use. That's pretty much my entire night at the Foo Fighters concert.
Well, I was thinking of this yesterday because I drink so much water. And I was like, there will be a point in my lifetime where I don't doubt that water is rationed. That you can't just, and maybe not so much in America.
You don't know that these oceans are big? Didn't you think the president told us that?
Super big. I saw a really horrible graphic the other day of what the earth will look like in 2060 because of all the garbage and the plastic in the oceans.
The plastic, these masses.
Yep.
And the president, to his credit, was a part of a bill signing last week where they called that out. I had the story and I think I left it in the back, but I remember the details here. Here's another thing. The number of kids born out of wedlock is jumping up dramatically.
Blame the millennials.
Yep. That is a huge, huge part of it. Whoa. There we go. The new screen is over. It's broke.
Danger. Danger.
No, that was just the clock right there. What are you showing me here? Oh. Oh, well, there's a projection of the Earth and running out of water?
No, not running out of water. That's what the oceans will look like because of
garbage. Oh, so it's all water.
Right.
2066. Look at Adam over there. He's yawning. Yeah. He's just bored by the whole thing.
Tryptophan.
Did you have some turkey today?
I did not, but that's what I'm blaming.
Yeah. How often do you have turkey during the non-Thanksgiving? Because it's overrated. It's dull. It's dry.
It's only usually sliced turkey, sandwich turkey.
Yeah. How about this texter? Spain, I'd rather die early and live in Alabama. If my choice is living in Spain or Alabama,
sorry,
it's not close. It is not close. So you can have Alabama, I'll have Madrid. But the numbers are dramatic now. Going up, children out of wedlock. I think there are a lot of people, Adam and Lindsay, who hear that and they're like, they're horrified. This is another example. What is wrong with the morality? What is wrong with the culture? How do we continue to put up with that? Does it bug you, Adam Carter, in any way? Or it bugs you a lot that more couples are having kids and they're not getting married?
It does not bug me.
How come?
Because I don't think that... I don't think it takes a married couple to make good parents.
100% right there.
And I die, you know.
That's it for me right there.
I get that you say yes, you're making vows before God, but I...
First of all, everybody doesn't believe in God.
Right.
Or they can believe in a different God.
And I think people are smarter now with self-awareness and realizing, is this person, you know, people are doing it older now and saying, look, this is someone that I want to make this commitment with, not like you're 18 or 20 now, like, well, got to get married, time to have kids.
The average age, Lindsay, to have a child for a female is 27. Well, I think it was like 30 years ago, it was 22.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Going off of Adam's point, I hope that the people who are choosing to have children out of wedlock are doing it because it is their decision and not because they're necessarily like unplanned pregnancies or they feel that they're in this alone. It's that there are more people who are taking on parenthood, whether it's because they don't have a partner and children were always in their plan. Right. I know plenty of women my age, so we're 32, who already are talking about, well, okay, so if I'm 35 and I haven't found a man, what plan am I putting in place because I want to be a parent?
Yeah.
And then you think of gay couples, lesbian couples, people who want to adopt. There are so many different ways to become a parent these days.
Which are there's greater acceptance
absolutely
of those. There aren't laws preventing them.
Any family that is willing to open up their doors and give love to a child, whether it is the quote-unquote nuclear family that my parents were divorced. Your parents were divorced.
Yep.
Your parents were divorced.
Explains a lot about us.
I was just going to say, I think we turned out okay. But in the grand scheme of things, that whole idea of what is just set on paper as, the end all for being a parent.
Yeah. And then here's another one. This complete crap that, you're just going to turn out so much better with two parents. Here's the deal. You turn out better with loving, kind, respectful individuals. And if you can be surrounded by 100 people who are that way, more power to you. But this idea that, well, we got married, so we got to stay in the marriage, even though we don't really care for each other anymore, we really don't love each other, but there's so much societal and
we don't fight around the kids, so they have no way of knowing it, right? Yeah, they're totally clueless.
They haven't picked up on it in any way. BS. And the data in this, by the way, because Lindsay made this point, I'll be clear on this. The data in this point, the numbers are not going up because of individuals having kids on their own. The data is coming up because people have decided that marriage may be for you. I've been married before. I'm willing to be married again. But I'm not superior because I was married and I'm willing to be married again. There's nothing wrong. And Adam, I just want you to chime in this. The pomposity of some individuals, and I mean by the tens of millions, who look down at people if they're not married or towards women if they haven't had kids is so bleeping condescending. You want to chime in this one, Dara? As a person who hates most women?
Yeah, it's just nothing but old stereotypes. Children need someone who loves them, and they need an environment of integrity and honesty, which is why you don't. You know, I know some couples who stayed together, and they're, you know, cheating and fighting, and the whole thing is chaos. And those children are the angriest children, and they grow up, and they're just like, oh, it's hypocrisy. All of society is hypocrisy. It's like, well, or, you know, these parents didn't, like, they want to be perfect to the outside world, but not perfect inside the house. Like, what is that all about?
The moral condescension from some people is in my top 10 list that just drives me nuts. Actually, I got about 1,000 things that drive me nuts. Adam, what's your number one that drives you nuts?
Oh, boy.
My daughter right now is really into this album by this artist called Melanie Martinez, and it's got this song called Doll's House. It's all about how things look perfect from the outside, but inside is so terrible. And my daughter, who's 10, was just like, what is this about? This seems terrible. And I was like, this is terrible, and we'll discuss it when you're 18.
Yeah. In other words, hold that thought. Do your best. Stop aging. Just stay where you're at right now. Hey, our good friend Wayne Kostrowski and the Franklin Street Bakery and the Kick Hunger Challenge brings you this appearance by Dara. Wayne is
very
one of the best.
Grateful. I love Wayne.
He's phenomenal.
I love the Kick Hunger Challenge.
He cheats in golf.
As you know, I'm a little football challenge. I don't know much about it. But over the years of working with Taste of the NFL and the great work that they do, I have learned so much. There's just a lot of wonderful people.
They're amazing. Yeah, watch Wayne, that foot wedge. No, I'm kidding. Wayne is one of my all-time favorites. He is such a good person. Okay, Gavin Kaysen, what else do you need, right? I mean, you're dominating downtown. You're dominating hoity-toity, la-di-da, Wayzata. Now you want to do even more in the North Loop? I think I was starting to stutter there briefly. But he's opening up this new place. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's going to be called Demi. So the story is as follows. You know where he is in the North Loop. It's kind of a lot of warehouses. There's been a gold rush to the North Loop the last 2 years as everyone's like, you know, I can take this old candy factory and I can make $1 million. So just out the back door of Spoon and Stable on another street over there, Second Street, I believe, a new renovation was happening. The developer was kind of poking around looking, you know, talking to Gavin over the course of the years of developing it. And they decided it's a very small space for a restaurant, 1,200 square feet. And he's opening, to me, means half. So I guess it's like half a restaurant. And he's going to put a 20-seat counter service restaurant in the space. So this means, like, picture a horseshoe-shaped, except it's square, whatever that is. So it's 7 seats on one side, 7 on the other, 6 in the front. And the chefs will just be in the middle cooking. There'll be only 2 seatings. It'll be, you know, 6 courses or 8 courses or whatever it is like that. And you'll pay, say, $150. So it'll be this the courses plus wine pairings. And so it will be both our most expensive restaurant in the Twin Cities by a hearty chunk.
Yeah, by a lot.
And it will be possibly the toughest reservation, only 40 seatings a night.
So what do you think of the concept?
I mean, the rich keep getting richer, so I kind of feel like, well, maybe it's a good idea to just, you know, just focus a restaurant on the 1%. They exist, and they're not hurting. So I don't know. I mean, is it the thing that I had a long conversation about Gavin breaking the news and everything? And he was like, and we're going to find out what Northern cuisine means to me. And I was like, seriously? After you've been here for 4 years, dude, like, look, you know, how do you not know what Northern cuisine means to you by now? Like, start, you know, get in a car, start driving around. I'll point you to some apple orchards, start figuring out what it means to live here. I mean, I get frustrated. It's like he's so dominant in the restaurant scene and does a lot of things right. And yet, you know. You know, this is going to be the restaurant that helps him figure out what Northern cuisine means to him. So,
all right, your view on Spoon and Stable before was,
I'm still like the only person who's like it's a flat B of a restaurant. Like it's a very
you are the outlier.
Fun. I am the one outlier in America. Feel free to at me. So it's a fun place to be, and that cannot be understated, right? So it feels like the center of the universe. The menu has barely changed since it's open. I've had a few dishes where I'm like, oh, this black pasta with the seafood is unbelievable. And then you learn that it's a dish that he used to do in New York City for Daniel Balud. And you're like, okay, it's a great dish. You're an amazing, when you want to execute something that someone else taught you how to do, you do it incredibly well. But what do you do that's your own thing? That you stand for yourself. Like if you're gonna be the leading chef in the Twin Cities, you have all kinds of responsibilities in terms of art and intellect and advancing the movement and thinking a thing. Like what are you about? I like Bellacore 1,000 times more because Bellacore lives within, and that's the restaurant in Hoity Toity Wyzetta.
Yep.
It's a French restaurant. It lives within the confines of French cuisine. And then it just excels. It's like, I can do this. I can make this pavé. I can make a terrine. I'm like the master of executing difficult French stuff with precision, grace, and flair. You know, like it's practically perfect. I really can't think of how to improve it.
I'll admit, I've never ate at Spoon and Stable. I've ate at Bellacore 3 times now. I think Bellacore is phenomenal.
Yeah, Bellacore is phenomenal. I think it's better significantly than Spoon and Stable, but Spoon and Stable remains, you know, the buzziest place and everybody, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, if you go there and you like it, I totally get it. It's very likable. I want it to push farther than it ever does.
You have standards. So we talked about this early in the year, Cluster Truck, and I received a bunch of emails from them, and I appreciate that they sent it. I never follow up. I literally walk by the Cluster Truck location all the time. Explain the concept. Explain why you didn't think it would work and why you were right.
Yeah. I like a good I told you so segment. We need a little bump on that. Okay. So Cluster Truck, the idea was food trucks are so big. Restaurant delivery is so big. We're going to game this system. We're going to put a commercial kitchen in a black box in the middle of, you know, somewhere on the edge of downtown where the real estate doesn't cost too much. And then you can just order food from us and we will deliver it.
Yep.
Ta-da, we did it. We created restaurant delivery and food trucks without the, you know, hassle and expense of building our brand, making connections, getting you to trust us, all these things. And all I could think was like, why would I possibly get a Cluster Truck burger when I can open, you know, DoorDash, Amazon restaurants, any of these other things,
and you can
and
get
delivery
place.
From a place I already know is good.
Yep.
Why would I possibly get brand X when I, you know, when I can get, you know, I'm just
how
thinking
was the,
World
how was the
Kitchen.
Quality of food?
The quality of food was fine, but it wasn't amazing,
okay.
And it wasn't bad. It was just a straight up, you know, good enough.
Yeah. So it didn't have anything that stood out about it. Yep.
And now they closed. So they opened, and I always feel bad because it's like, oh, somebody lost their job. I had some nice young
put
women who were
it.
Part of it. It was an Indiana-based concept. I am really at the point with the new economy where I'm super tired of these concepts that are funded that are just like they just take place in the stratosphere of somebody talking to a venture capitalist. The venture capitalist has too much money. They're like, we'll throw money at you. And meanwhile, all kinds of real people, families struggling, trying to get Small Business Administration loans, takes years to get established. They don't get this venture capital like goofball money. And these venture capital plans are just very often quite harebrained, in my estimate.
Yeah, you're right. Send us the money. We'll come up with a better concept. Let's do this. Let's play our national contest and come back and talk to Dara Moore because she's got a number of good items. The hour is, the word's hour is WISH, W-I-S-H, WISH, W-I-S-H. One more time, the keyword WISH, text away 72881, 72881. Lindsay, I believe we have another pair of Fleetwood Tech. Oh, no, we gave out both Fleetwood Mac tickets yesterday. That's right. Sorry. I was thinking we might have another pair. My mistake. I wish we did. More Dara in moments. 2:53, that is your Lindus construction time check. Time to make your home energy efficient with Season Guard windows. Dara still with me. Her regular show Saturday. Let's mention that. 11 a.m. What do you got going?
I'll be talking to two big important people. I got a chef from NFL's Kick Hunger Challenge. They're doing a big dinner on the 27th of October, so I'm going to talk to them about that. There are tickets still available for that guy. And then a chef from Philadelphia restaurant Zahav, which is this new thing called Israeli Soul. I am wild about this book. It's like a mag. They went there for eight. He's a very famous chef. He wrote this cookbook called Zahav that I loved. He's kind of the king of Philadelphia food, which, if you know, if you go to Philadelphia, I guess that matters. But these books are so good. And he has this new one called Israeli Soul. They went for just 10 days to Israel, ate, you know, 82 meals, and took so many photos. Like, you feel like you're there. Like, it is a – Dorothy Kalins is a kind of magazine superstar. She founded that magazine, Savour. And this is one of her first cookbooks that she's just done from scratch. And it just – it's like electrifying. It is such a good cookbook.
Tell me about this poaching story you're talking about here. Places that Five Guys, Panera.
Yeah, this is a crazy story to me because I feel that I should have known about this before today. I've been in the restaurant game a long time, but apparently all of these chains, IHOP, Panera, Five Guys, Quiznos, just a bazillion of them, I'll have this thing called a quote-unquote no-poach clause. And a no-poach clause is like a non-compete, and it means that you can't work at another Panera. So if you work at Panera, you can't get a job at a different Panera. That's like, and that seems to me the craziest thing. So if you, like, you know, you live in, you know, St. Paul, you took a Panera job in Woodbury, and something opens up in a Panera in St. Paul, you can't apply for a job at the one closer to your house. And you also, you know, apparently can't apply to a bunch of other jobs. But this affects something like, you know, a couple hundred thousand Americans. Like, this is a really big
deal. That's a lot.
Deal. And I never heard of this. And I feel ashamed and I feel like a dummy and I'm so upset. But apparently this Washington attorney general started investigating this, threatened a couple of these companies with basically antitrust lawsuits, and everybody rolled up their policies. They were looked into them. They're like, oh, yes, this is completely illegal. We're not going to be able to do these anymore. And so a bunch of companies came out over the summer with a big thing like, we'd like to announce we'll be delighting our employees in other ways and we won't have these no poach things anymore. I actually read it because I was looking at a restaurant trade publication. It was like, how to make your employees happy now that the no poach is a thing in the past. I was like, what could this possibly be? I started Googling around. I was like, no, this could not have been a thing. And now they're going to –
So odd.
It's so weird. And this Washington State Attorney General is now suing like Valvoline and Jersey Mike's and a couple other companies that were decided they were going to fight it. Like, they decided, oh, we feel lucky about this one. It is messed up.
Real quick, a texture. The Korean fried chicken place in Uptown open yet?
Ooh, Bonchan, I don't know. I haven't walked by in a while. Okay. It was close.
Yeah, and good, not sure.
It's a chain. I don't know. It should be good. I mean, what is fried chicken that bad?
That's true.
But
that's true.
We have a hole in our heart from Left-Handed Cook closing and reopening in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's phony. Don't do that. We're done with you. We got to go. Dan Cook's walking in. Try to convince him to eat some real food.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.